Maybe I could be like an announcer, like a color man.
I don't believe what I just saw.
You know how I always make those interesting comments during the game?
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
Yeah, yeah, you make good comments.
So what about that?
Well, you know, they tend to give those jobs to ex-ball players and people that are, you know, in broadcast.
What about a talk show host?
This is In the Booth.
Talk show host, that's good.
I think I'd be good at that. I talk to people all the time.
With Matt Park.
Welcome, everybody, In the Booth. Good to have you here. Moving along throughout the week. Basketball will be chatted about quite a bit. Hoops in the Dome tomorrow night, 6:30 start time. Then a road game going to Blacksburg for Saturday. Orange women are home Thursday night. Got those coaches shows that Seth just rattled off. Got the Jim Boeheim show Thursday here in town. So lots of basketball to yak about the day after the end of the college football season, which was last night. LSU reigns supreme, gets the Death Valley to Brian's suggestion. Saturday night in Death Valley. Played that clip yesterday, and LSU and Clemson, both extraordinary teams, but with LSU flexing its muscles last night, the national championship heads to Baton Rouge. First loss for Trevor Lawrence since high school, his second loss in about a five-year span, and Clemson will be just fine. Trust me, they'll be back and ready to be loaded and run through the ACC next year.
Everyone's already picked him preseason one for next year already, so they're good.
Yeah,
they're already number one. That happened quickly. Maybe it'll just be our own personal handing out of Death Valley, so just next year when we're there, maybe for the season opener, we just don't
Memorial
call it,
Stadium.
We just only call it Memorial Stadium, never refer to it as welcome to Clemson, South Carolina, 45 down the road from Greenville, and that'll be their comeuppance.
That's right. That'll really sting for him.
That'll get back to him at some point.
That's right. So that's Brian Higgins. Tommy Hogan's at the dials here as well. You can join us by phone at 315-437-7644. That's 4ESPN44. Hi to everybody watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/QSportsTalk or QSportsTalk on the Twitch app. So that gets us rolling. We've got lots going on today and really throughout the week. We've got the Zach Brown Band tickets. Tickets will go on sale on January 17th, that is Friday of this week at 10 a.m., and we will be giving away tickets. As they say in radio speak, win them before you can buy them. We'll do that later today. Of course, on Friday, where we plan to be giving them away, you could have already bought them.
You could.
On that day. So I don't know if technically we maybe need to do these all the next 3 days before they actually go on sale. But we shall see about that. Anyway, we are giving them away today. We'll play some pick six and have some fun and shenanigans and give away tickets to a concert for Zach Brown, who comes to the amphitheater every year. This year it happens to be May 31st. More details on that to follow here. And this Dunkin' Donuts promotion we'll tell you about later in the show for the day after the big game. I started talking with a friend last night about potential Super Bowl party plans, and I don't have a real job, but I would think it would really struggle. You know, it would be hard for the people who do have real jobs. You absolutely have to be somewhere dressed nicely and coiffed and all that on Monday morning after the Super Bowl. It could be a little rough for some people, and that's where Dunkin' Donuts comes in.
Oh, they're coming in a big way. That's why you got the whole party the day after, right?
That's right. That's right.
They just show up with a main line of coffee. And there you go.
I feel as though we need to start today's show by cleaning up something from yesterday. Just as we were going on the air yesterday, came down the news about the Astros with the suspensions by Major League Baseball of A.J. Hinch, the manager of the Houston Astros, Jeff Lunau, the general manager. And we yakked about it a little bit. And then, as Brian and I always do, the best part of the show is in the parking lot after the show, where we wrap up any loose ends that may have been.
Not on Twitch, that part.
Right. We may critique what's maybe happened in the show and talk about the next day or what's coming up in the next game or whatever. And then, boom, here comes the alert at 3:06 yesterday that Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, has ousted both Hinch and Lunau. So effectively, not a suspension now. It's a firing. And when you're fired for that and you're not going back with the organization that you did all of that apparent cheating with, who is going to hire you? Now, I think A.J. Hinch in particular is well enough respected that he will potentially get another job. But I feel as though that I personally, I can't speak for you, Brian, that I probably went a little soft. Because I think my first reaction yesterday was, gee, that's quite a lot of suspension. That's in the very, very minority. I think most of the baseball community thought the 1 year was not enough, and they're pleased with this, and actually thought that it should have been Major League Baseball that stepped up at first and said, you know, get out of here to both of them. And there's going to be more because the Red Sox and then maybe potentially the Mets will be impacted by this.
Yeah, they are both going to be looking for new managers by Monday, and if they're not, nothing makes sense.
How about?
And by Monday, like in theory, it's going to be at 3:06 in the parking lot today. Those guys should probably both be fired.
Can we get a 30 for 30 special on people who got fired before they ever really started their jobs?
Beltran never has and never will manage a game in the major leagues. There's no way, right? There can't be.
I would. You can't say never.
I mean, the people have bounced back from more criminal things, but as far as baseball crimes go, this has got to rank high up there.
I still have a hard time getting too worked up about it.
I'm not that worked up about it, but you can't hire the guy, can you now?
No, definitely toxic. I just think there's a fine line between gamesmanship and cheating.
Well, they tap danced on it.
Yeah, and what happens is, then why don't we just say, hey, fastball coming, if there's not supposed to be some sort of, you know, level of secret, I don't know. In terms of the, you know, nobody has a problem, right? If fair and square, the runner on second base or whoever, just without the use of technology, let's say, that the batting team figures out
the pitch sequence. You yank on your left ear when a curveball's coming because you saw the signs.
I mean, and again, that part of it, that's had to have happened since
for 150 the 20s.
Years. Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Ever since they figured out how to throw a second pitch.
Right. Yeah, 1907 or something, okay? Had to have, and what comes with it is the risk of, you know, if you're playing outside the lines to even that degree, the risk of getting thrown at, getting spiked, getting ostracized, whatever. If that was all it was now, I don't think people would have a problem with it. The technology, obviously, is the main issue, and the starting point of the technology in this case becoming a problem is the instant replay room. So just off the dugout, we're watching a game on TV, you know, somewhere in there in most of these major league club stadiums / clubhouses, there's either a tunnel back to the clubhouse or right there off that dugout, there's a small room and there's monitors and they're rolling on everything. And that is ostensibly for the purpose of deciding whether they want to video replay a decision, you know, safer out at first base as an example. What it becomes, though, obviously, is you have a paid person who knows ball, who's staring there at the whole time, who's able to decipher the pitch sequencing with help of other people and whatever, and then just relaying that to the dugout and maybe relaying it to the hitter. And that's where it's kind of crossing the line. What if we just said, hey, you can't have that room anymore? That as far as replay is concerned, you have to just decide with your naked eye whether you care to replay it or not. You're not going to be privy to the video, which would also speed up that decision.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I don't get about, and this is where I blame like capital B baseball. They can't get out of their own way. Like the steroid scandal, people, I mean, they're all pretended they didn't know stuff was happening, but come on.
Right.
And then they just tried to quietly make it go away for a while. Then what do you know? It exploded into pandemonium for years. Well, if I read the story.
Which apparently they did in this case with a memo that
went
around.
Exactly. That's what I said. I read the article yesterday. Wait. So the heads of baseball basically sent out these letters to all the teams in the middle of September 2017. So right before the playoffs would have started in this Astros season, that basically said, wink, wink, hey, quit it. If you don't quit it, you're in trouble. If you quit it right now, everything's fine. Had you seen that before yesterday anywhere?
No, was I aware that had happened? No.
Well, why didn't they go out into the public and shout this out loud? So people might have actually been scared that anyone was paying attention and stopped it. Do you think they put out that letter just because? Right. They knew the Astros were doing it then.
Right.
They knew what was happening then. Okay, you don't want to make a big scene, get them in trouble, which is clearly what it was. The best team in the league is cheating 2 weeks before the playoffs. They're ready for it. If you're telling me it's something else than that, I don't believe you. I don't care if it's something else than that. It looks exactly like that, and that's all that matters at this point. But you don't say it out loud at that point. Hey, there might be a problem. Nobody do this. Certainly not in the playoffs that are coming up right now. And you let it go on for two more years, and now it blows up, and everyone looks like an idiot. As opposed to, you might have been able to nip it in the bud if you'd just been a little more forceful right off the bat. But baseball does this time and time again with everything. It's not this. It's a baseball problem. It's not this problem.
Yeah, and that's true in lots of walks of life, too. You let something fester, you ignore it, you don't deal with it right away. Next thing you know, it becomes a much
bigger... You're getting the clear in a parking lot from somebody right. And hitting 75 home runs.
Bigger problem. And for those that maybe haven't paid that close attention or caught up on it, how's it going to impact other teams? Well, the ringleaders, potentially, of this, it was apparently not A.J. Hinch who said, doggone it, cut it out. Actually, I don't know if he actually said cut it out. He said, I don't like this.
This is no good. But it's going to be a fastball.
Right. But he didn't stop it on his own. He apparently voiced displeasure or disagreement with it, but did not insist that his players stop it or take out the mechanisms that were in the middle. But the guys who actually made it happen are Alex Cora, now the Red Sox manager, and Carlos Beltran, now the Mets manager.
Now is a very important word.
Now they weren't then, and they were in the
tomorrow
Astros.
We might have to use a different word.
Correct. And they may be down the road, and those two high-profile organizations have to hire new managers, and that'll be a new set of stories and two other people that'll have some sort of skeletons in their closet about what has happened, and we'll see what's next with them. So anyway, that was a little baseball spiel off the top. We do need to get into the football, although it was pretty obvious what we saw there. Lots of pros all over the field, two really good programs and teams, and LSU just a little bit better than Clemson.
I'm just hoping the Giants, with the fourth pick, the Giants select the 2020 National Championship game.
Just take them all.
I want them all.
We'll take them all.
I'll take all of them.
But there was a lot of good-looking players. Travis Etienne's just the beast. And on both sides of the ball, really all four of those units, a lot of pros on the field. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk hoops with Dan Bonner. We'd arranged that ahead of time here to visit with him. He had the Boston College, Georgia Tech game most recently. He's got the Syracuse, BC game here tomorrow night, and he'll be driving on his way, I think, when we visit with him. We'll call him and talk around the ACC in just a moment. Brought to you by the Hoffman Sausage Company, born in Germany, raised in Syracuse. Hoffman Taste Tells. This is In the Booth on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1. In the Booth with Matt Park is brought to you by Hoffman Sausage Company.
It is indeed a couple of promotions to tell you about. We've got Zach Brown tickets to give away, and we'll do that on Pick 6 here throughout the week. Zach Brown Band coming to the St. Joseph's Health Amphitheater in Lakeview Sunday, May 31st. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com at the On Center box office or calling by phone at 1-800-745-3000. Zach Brown tickets, and we'll give away a pair coming up here in a few minutes. The other thing to tell you about is the day after the big game, wink, wink, be caller number 5. We'll do it later in the show, though. We'll do it at the end of the program. So when we have that selected caller, you've got a chance to win a Dunkin' Donuts office party the day after the big game, coming up on Monday following the you-know-what. Rhymes with Uber All.
So I can't get it Friday? Pretty big women's hoops game on Thursday? That's not what this
no,
is for?
No, the day after that game. That's a big game, too.
Let's make all the purchases.
Head to the phone and welcome in our friend Dan Bonner. He's probably a Zach Brown Band fan. You got that going in your Pandora as you drive there, Dan, or what?
Well, I do enjoy Zach Brown, but are we going to have to talk in code like you guys are talking, or we can talk normally?
No, we can speak normally now. You're a guest. I don't think you're beholden to the rules, you know, about that football game that decides the championship at the end of the year.
Oh, they still have one of those? Okay.
Yeah, looking forward to that. So we're giving away Zach Brown Band tickets, but unfortunately you're not eligible because you're now currently on the program. But we'll deal with that another time. Anyway, you're coming up literally at the moment to see the game in the Dome tomorrow. Two teams that just beat Virginia, which is kind of hard to believe. You wouldn't have seen that a week or so ago, and maybe you can tell us how they did it.
Well, I think, you know, Matt, all you got to do is take out the rule book. And in Section 1, Article 1.
More points.
The first sentence says that the game is played between two teams with 5 players each. And the second sentence says the objective of each team is to score points. And somebody needs to show that part of the rule book to Virginia because they have lost sight of that. And so, you know, Virginia, Matt, we've seen them now under Tony Bennett, and this is a real extreme example. But their defense is good enough that they have a chance to win every game they play. And their offense is bad enough that they have a chance to lose every game they play. And so I think they're going to be up and down like this all year. They are not a team that I see going on some extended run.
It'll be interesting to see if they can beat Florida State. That's either tonight or tomorrow night. I think it's tomorrow night. Because, yeah, they're good enough to beat Florida State, but it's on the road. Florida State's got all these athletes. So can you corral them? And if you don't, Virginia's lost three in a row.
Well, and even, again, Matt, I think the point is, can Virginia corral them? Yes, they can. But Virginia's going to have to score more than 65 points, which is their max for the year.
Crazy.
You know, and in that game that they scored 65 points, they only had 62 possessions. Now, in the Syracuse game, I don't know how many possessions they had, but they turned the ball over 15 times.
Yeah.
So if you only have around 60 possessions and you turn the ball over 15 times and you're pretty efficient offensively, you score a point per possession, that means you've scored 45 points. And I think you're going to need to score more than that to beat Florida State.
Yeah, Syracuse actually, had they lost that game at Virginia on Saturday, would have been kicking itself about its uncharacteristic turnovers. Not that they had a million of them in the game, but they came in opportunistic situations. They were throwing it away after just getting the ball in transition and that type of thing. And they were fortunate to get it into overtime and then shoot lights out in OT. So let's get into Boston College as we visit with Dan Bonner of ACC Network. He and Wes Durham on the call of the game tomorrow here in the Dome. And Dan, Boston College, the story there is, now they did just beat Virginia. They lost badly to Georgia Tech, but they're playing. Talk about, you had to field five players. They're having a hard time doing that. Even the coach is injured.
Yeah, even the coach is hurt. And I think one of the keys for Boston College is whether or not, in the game coming up tomorrow, I think is whether or not Derek Thornton can play. Without Derek Thornton against Georgia Tech, they really had a hard time getting the ball where it needed to go against the Georgia Tech zone. And Georgia Tech plays a very good matchup zone, but I would not put their zone on the same par as Syracuse. And so I think you need to get the ball to certain spots, and you need to have somebody to do that. And I think Boston College, now, they're not a great shooting team. And so they're, you know, obviously anybody can get hot. But I think a big key for them, obviously, is who's available and who's not.
Thornton started his career at Duke, actually averaged 7 points a game as a freshman, then on to USC, and now at his third school. He started every game where he's been available, but he has missed the last two. Nick Popovich, who's had his moments against Syracuse over time, has missed the last seven or so games with a back injury. He figures not to go in the game tomorrow. So Boston College and Jim Christian's kind of the Rasputin. They haven't, you know, he's not met his end yet there at BC, but right now he's doing it with one arm tied behind his back.
Well, you know, in terms of injuries at Boston College, poor Jim Christian, if he didn't have bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all.
Amazing.
And, you know, the kid who they were counting on to be their point guard, Winston Tabbs, isn't going to play at all this year. Hadn't played at all this year. So it's been a very unfortunate situation. But Jim Christian, like every other coach knows, that none of his opponents feel sorry for him, maybe except when they're not playing him. You got to play with whoever you have. And Boston College, they've got a pretty tall task in front of them, I think.
Talk about a team, Dan, that nobody feels sorry for this year is North Carolina, just because they've been near the top of the league for essentially the history of the league. I mean, this is an extremely rare down year for them. What do you make of the Heels, and is there any way for them to start looking like North Carolina before the end of this season?
Well, I don't think so. Roy Williams was criticized a lot for saying that this team was the least gifted that he ever had, and I think that's a perfectly correct assessment. I didn't think they were all that gifted when they had Cole Anthony. You know, their offense was basically something different than we've ever seen North Carolina do. It was basically an isolation thing for Cole Anthony to get him as many shots as they could, and obviously if he makes those shots, then they have a chance to win the game as they did against Notre Dame. If he doesn't, then they don't win the game as in Virginia. But let's think about it now. Anthony is hurt. They started the year with Brandon Robinson, one of their guards, hurt. They had the Harris kid and the Francis kid who they just started playing, and now they're both hurt. So you can't play if you don't have any guys, and that's North Carolina's situation.
Dan Bonner is our guest on the Burdick Toyota guest line. Dan's been covering ACC basketball for an awfully long time. He and Wes Durham on the ACC network tomorrow as the Orange and Boston College square off. I don't think it comes as much compensation or solace for Clemson that they just beat North Carolina in hoops, given they suffered the defeat in football last night.
I would agree with you, Matt. I don't think that basketball really registers quite as much as football does down there. So I think that they'll be, of course, it gives basketball some cover. If everybody's upset that they lost the football game, maybe they'll leave Brad Brownell and his guys alone for a little while.
Yeah, they can simmer. Syracuse will see Clemson coming up actually next week. Clemson and Duke are on the agenda here for tomorrow night. Duke and Florida State for you, or do you put Louisville in that category in terms of the cream of the crop right now, Dan?
Matt, I think that for me, Duke and Florida State are the two best, but you know that's just in a personal opinion. I think that the best way to decide that is you look at the metrics, particularly that NCAA evaluation tool, the NET. And when you look at that, there is a substantial separation among those three teams, Duke, Florida State, and Louisville, and everybody else in the conference. And I think that at this point in the year, that presents some real issues for the Atlantic Coast Conference in terms of how many teams they get into the NCAA tournament. But I would put Louisville up in that category as well with Duke and Florida State.
Yeah, just for comparison, Syracuse's net is 83. Boston College's is 151. That's not what you're looking for. You're not gaining any ground by playing those teams is really the point. In fact, we started the show kind of beating up Virginia a little bit, and Virginia could fall out of the top 75 with another loss. That means, you know, they have a chance to get back in, but Syracuse's win at Virginia looks less impressive based on the net rankings if Virginia doesn't get its act together. So good stuff, Dan. We appreciate the time while you're on the march, and we'll see you in the dome. Maybe you're going to make it in time for practice?
Well, what's practice? 6 to 8? Somebody told me?
It actually got pushed back a little to 6:30, so you got a little leeway there.
Well, I don't think I'm going to be there.
Okay.
But I'll be at the game tomorrow.
Okay. Hey, that's the one they pay you for.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Safe travels. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Dan Bonner, our guest from the ACC Network on the Burdick Toyota guest line. We'll do a little pick six coming up for Zach Brown tickets. How's that sound?
So am I not allowed to go out in the hall and call in? Where are we at on that?
I don't know. You got to find out
where to write the categories.
I know. We got to come up with two more categories. We should have fan-submitted categories once in a while, too.
There we go.
Maybe a little interactivity.
Could I win it, though?
Going that way. You can create it. If you create two more categories, we still need here for the next couple minutes, and we can maybe see if we can scrounge up a couple of ducats for you for the Zach Brown Band show early this year. Usually is maybe mid-June or a little later in the summer.
June 9th last year.
May 31st.
Didn't make that one on June 9th last year.
You had some things going on.
Minor event on June 9th.
How about that?
Last year. Still couldn't find
and
any
still
takers.
Still your baby is not named Zach.
No.
With a just Z-A-C.
Couldn't find any takers for those ducats either at the last.
That was a last-minute thing, too, wasn't
it? Well, it was an exceedingly last-minute thing, yes.
Why don't you write to the Zach Brown Band?
It's like, hey.
Tell them that story and say, hey, you missed out. This is the reason, this little peanut
here. I put it on
here.
The gram last year, I think. I got no response from the official Zach Brown
They
account.
Must get hit up on that kind of stuff quite often.
Disappointing.
All right, Zach Brown Band tickets to be given away here in just a moment. Again, they go on sale at LiveNation.com January 17th. Get ready to phone us, 315-437-7644. Get you in queue for the Zach Brown Band tickets, 315-4ESPN44. We'll play Pick 6 next on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1. In the Booth with Matt Park is brought to you by Hoffman Sausage Company.
And welcome back, everybody, as we join you in the booth here on ESPN Radio. You can join us at any time on the Burdick Toyota guest line. In fact, we'll go to those now as we play pick six. We've got Zach Brown Band tickets to give away a couple times here throughout the week. Zach Brown Band coming to Lakeview Amphitheater on May 31st, which is a Sunday evening, May 31st. Feeling like spring, heading into summer, should be a lot of fun. Zach Brown puts on a great show, and hoping people enjoy it. So we'll welcome in John and Holland Patton first on the program. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hello. Good.
Hey, John. Good. You're familiar with the game. You're a past winner, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Okay.
Long time ago.
All right. What's your pick here? Like 1 to 6.
Let's go with 2.
Category number 2. Mm. Pretty easy one here, John.
Yeah. We always say.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
This is a Syracuse basketball question. We're going to put 30 seconds on the clock. We need the 6 years that Syracuse made the Final Four in 30 seconds.
2003.
Mm-hmm. This one.
16?
2.
Yes.
96?
3.
Oh, boy.
Halfway there.
Hmm.
Got half your time left.
One was a title game.
Oh, man. Not 8, not...
Late in the city you were probably watching last night.
87?
Yeah, that's 4.
13?
5.
No, you said 13. Oh, he did say 13. Yeah. Okay.
13, 16, 03, 96, 87. What's the last one?
Pre-Boeheim era.
Mm.
Coach Boeheim as an assistant.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That
one is long forgotten. You're that old, John. You're older than me.
Yeah, I know.
And
but not quite that old.
year of my birth. The year in question.
Your birth?
Yeah. Well, it's too late.
If I was 61, I'm going to say 58. Or no, I mean 68.
No, not that old, John.
Sorry, yep. Matt.
Seriously. All right, John, thank you. Try again another time, okay?
Okay, man, thanks.
All right, that one's off the board. Dave and Camillus is next. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, how are you?
75 was the last answer.
You got it. Unfortunately, that's not your category now, Dave.
No, thanks.
So you've got 1 to 6, not 2.
Let's go with 6.
6. Okay, another Syracuse basketball one. I like your chances on this one. Okay, this is top 10 three-point shooters by three-pointers made. Okay?
Okay.
In their career. All right, 30 seconds on the clock, Dave, when you're ready.
McNamara.
1.
Roughton.
2.
Nichols.
3.
Sutherland.
Nope.
Oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank now.
One last year.
Oh gosh, come on. Monroe. No.
One guy scored more points than anybody. I'd have some threes in there.
Lawrence Moulton.
That's correct, but that got you to 4, Dave.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. Good effort. A little harder when the clock is ticking on you.
Had a hot start. I felt good through 3.
Yeah. Got Jeff next on the line. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you? We got 2 and 6 off the board. What else would you like?
Let's go with 3.
3. All right. This was on the halftime show last night of the what's football game?
Not the halftime show.
Okay. Well, ESPN at halftime revealed the culmination of its celebration of 150 years of college football. They revealed their panel's selection of the top 10 college football players of all time.
Oh.
We need you to name 6 of the 10.
Okay,
Ren, you're ready. Go ahead.
All right.
30 seconds.
Bo Jackson.
1.
Let's see. Jim Brown.
2.
What about Roger Staubach?
He was.
Yeah, I'll give you that. He was 11.
They did reveal him last night.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's 3.
Okay. Let's see. God, this is going to be hard.
Running backs.
Yeah, that position you named a lot of already.
Yeah, what about Herschel Walker?
4. Hurry up. Running backs. Man, you were right there.
Sorry.
Right there. 30 seconds goes fast if you don't get out of the gate. You got to have a couple real quick ones out of the gate. Good try there.
Thank you.
Good try. Yep.
That was a good go for not having actually seen the list.
This is a Matt and Cicero?
Matt and Cicero.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you? Let's see. We got 1, 4, and 5 to choose from.
Let's go with 4.
Number 4. You're going to get this, Matt, okay? Matt and Cicero, 30 seconds on the clock. We need six states that touch the Mississippi River.
Mississippi,
one.
Illinois, Kentucky,
three.
Alabama,
no.
South Carolina, Tennessee.
Tennessee's four.
Yep.
Ohio?
Wrong way.
Georgia? Nope, not Georgia. Louisiana?
Five.
North.
Get the north end of the river.
Texas?
North.
Illinois. Indiana?
North.
Kentucky? Shit, I already said that.
Oh, man.
Shit.
And an FCC violation to boot.
Mm. Sorry.
Wow, you were right there. You were right there. We can only give so many hints. You're aware that it's a north to south river, right?
I know.
All right. Next up, who's the next victim there? We got to give these away.
We got Joe and Camillus.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Sorry.
We're down to categories 1 and 5.
I'll do 1.
These might be our two toughest categories.
Are you a Zach Brown fan?
Are you a big Zach Brown? Are you a big Zach Brown Band fan?
They're all right. They're not bad, yes. But I do like that, yes.
Not feeling great about it.
Yeah, I don't feel great about this because I've seen Zach Brown Band in concert a couple times, and I'm not sure I could come up with this. But here's what we need:
there's
Zach Brown Band
of these.
They have 13 number one singles. 13. We need you to name six of them.
Okay.
How are you feeling about that? All right. When you're ready, go ahead.
Yeah, I should be okay.
Okay, let's go.
We'll do. So we got chicken fried.
One.
Knee deep.
Two.
Toes.
Three.
We got, what's that one song? But I'm stuck in
four. You got to the line. All right, now you've tapped out the ones that I
need.
You need two.
Two more. Play one on college game day every week in football season.
Highway 20 ride, is that one of those?
That's one. Great.
One more.
Goodbye in her eyes. Goodbye in her eyes.
Ooh.
I think you got it in.
That's
right?
On the list.
You play to the echo of the whistle.
That's not what that was.
That was pretty good. That was fantastic, Joe. Good close.
I'll be honest.
Good close. Wife, you're a winner.
My wife loves Zach Brown Band, but
okay, good. Well, now,
I listen to it all the time. So.
Now you can hook her up with tickets for May 31st. She'll be very, very happy about you.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
You got it.
Congrats, Joe.
Enjoy it, Joe. All right, Joe and Camillus. And he drops a Go Cuse at the end, so I dare say he would have had much less difficulty with other categories, but he nailed that one.
That was a tough one to pull out for the last one.
To be honest with you, I think I would have gotten four. The first four he named. Chicken fried, toes, colder weather, and knee deep. All because in each of those songs they say those words over and over.
They say the name.
I'm not too bright when it
comes
to music.
I think in all of the songs, Zach Brown's not a big not using the titular line in the song. It's so
Homegrown is the one that's on.
Yes,
that's on.
That was my
guess. Yeah, okay. And that's not what he said though. You said that he went Highway 20.
I said that, and then he got Goodbye in Her Eyes.
Yeah,
and said Highway 20 ride when I was hinting that, which is a song about, you know.
Would it be a fair criticism of Zach Brown that his songs sound similar?
No, because over the years, I think they've changed their sound a little bit. Their first few albums sound the same, and they've gone a little bit more exploratory in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Okay, so congrats there. For the rest of you that want to win something, we do have another opportunity. You can be caller 5 right now. Caller 5 right now at 315-437-7644. Your chance to win a day after the big game party from Dunkin' Donuts. Caller number 5, you'll be the hero of your office. Your office will be registered to win coffee, bagels, donuts, the whole nine from Dunkin', and they'll be delivered, by some of your favorite ESPN Syracuse hosts. Is that a win or a loss?
So we're not the ones bringing it?
Your office will run on Dunkin'. Yeah, we get the morning off. Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts and ESPN Radio Syracuse. They didn't talk to our agent or anything. That's the first we've heard of that, so hopefully, we're pretty much in the clear because
it
says your favorite.
Brent, so that's nice.
Good luck. Brent Axe coming to your office with coffee. I don't even drink coffee. I do enjoy Dunkin' Donuts in many ways, but I don't drink coffee. Okay, sorry, Tommy. Brian wanted to subject you to a Twitch-only contest.
coming up, so we're going to do that during this break. Then we're going to get to Pick Six or to Do We Care, and we're going to close out the program.
Ready to roll.
Okay, sounds good. We'll be back with more in a moment. Congratulations to Joe in Camillus, winner of today's Zach Brown tickets. We'll do it the next couple of days as well. In the booth, ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1. Do we care?
Interesting.
I doubt it.
No, wait, the other thing. Tedious.
But we will do this segment anyway.
Don't care anymore. Don't care no more.
CeCe Sabathia has been hired by the Yankees to be a special advisor to Brian Cashman, something that seemed to be basically a forethought here. But there's also going to be tasks for him, or there's talks for him to work with Yes Network and call some games. And he had an interesting quote about this that I wanted to get your guys' opinion on. He said, quote, "I'm not wearing a suit. Why do I need to wear a suit to talk about baseball? It is effing stupid to wear a suit. Guys on the field aren't wearing dress clothes. People in the stands aren't wearing dress clothes. It makes no sense. If they let me go up there in a Jordan sweatsuit, I'll do games all day." Your thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, there's a lot of them, probably more than we have time for right now. He's on the right track. I think you're seeing that being de-emphasized over time, how people dress as long as they're appropriate on camera. I don't think you need to wear a suit to call baseball in the summertime. I also question maybe how good he's going to be. I do think there's a certain thing to have to do with focus and whatever. I do like the very last part of it, that he wants to be there. There's a lot of people who do this for a profession that, at the end of the day, don't really enjoy it, and I'd rather they get out of the way regardless of what they're wearing. And at the end of the day, if he wants to be there and he has something to add and makes for a good broadcast, in the end of the day, who cares what he's wearing?
So we know
with an asterisk.
He doesn't need the cache, so no. If he's going to show up and do it, it's because he wants to be there. Yeah, wherever you want. I'd say maybe at least toss on a comfy polo.
Yeah, just wear, you know, the Yes Network polo. The bigger story I saw is that the presumption is that he would refuse to work with Michael Kay.
Got along with Michael Kay.
Well, then he's not going to do very many games.
Well, right. Ryan Rucco does a fair amount of games, and he does a podcast with him. Yeah. So
and Michael Kay taps out of the games where, like in Oakland, that's CeCe Sabathia's hometown, or Tampa. I'm sure he's got a home in Tampa.
The Tampa games are all available.
Yeah, so maybe it'll work out just fine. They could do a, you know, 8, 10, 12 game package with those guys.
You said you're not sure how good CeCe would be.
Yeah, I just don't know attention span, or, you know, you have to speak up in professional broadcasting and television. And if you're just sort of too casually, like, oh, it's guys in the stands watching the game, and you don't speak above a whisper, or you mumble, or you run your words together, it's hard for the viewer.
He's always a loud guy on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has stuff to say. I just think the transition from the field to broadcasting is much harder than most people are aware, and I hope he does it. If he wants to pursue it, I hope he does it, and he does it very well. We talked during the season about my feelings maybe on the Yankees' whole broadcast arrangement, and they've got a lot of different people and a lot of different options. What the heck's one more, I guess?
A quick one here. XFL, we brought up the rules last week, and I missed one here. They're going to use tennis's Hawkeye technology. That's huge. They're going to use it for their review. Something the NFL probably should have done and probably could have used in that Seahawks-Packers game to end the game.
Yeah, I don't know how that exactly works. I know Dennis Denninger up here at Syracuse has some responsibility into how that came into tennis in the first place. But I'm for anything that makes that more exact.
It's the best replay in any sport. I don't know how it... many scenarios it applies to in football, but tennis replay, let's replay it. People go, oh, and then it's in or it's out. And then you play the next point. It takes 10 seconds, 5 seconds. It's great.
Yeah, I'm all for that type of stuff. The XFL is crazy. So, show's over. See everybody.